Tuesday, July 30th. Again today, there are reports of new German air raids on the British Isles. And again from France, this time from Marseille, there are stories about heavy German military concentrations along the French coast of the English Channel. The concentrations are said to extend from Dunkirk to Brest, and inland 100 miles. Now for the news from Europe direct. Columbia turns its microphones first to London, then to Berlin. First, a report from the British capital by Larry Lesser. Go ahead, London.
This is London. The British cabinet this morning will determine what action it will take in reply to the arrests by the Japanese of 13 British subjects. Despite the protests of the British ambassador in Tokyo, Japan arrested two more Britons today on charges of spying. What retaliatory action the British government will take is not yet known, but a statement is expected to be made in the House of Commons this afternoon. It looks as though King Carol will hand over parts of his kingdom to Hungary and Bulgaria. It was officially announced in Bucharest this morning that Romania had agreed in principle to come to an understanding with its two neighbors. Consultations will take place between the three countries, and it is expected here that the changes will be more in the nature of population exchanges than of territorial sacrifices by Romania, at least until after the war. London shipping circles are considerably cheered this morning by the news that the Suez Canal is buzzing with activity. Traffic through the Suez almost came to a standstill after Italy's entrance into the war, but now shipping has greatly increased, a condition which indicates that British naval guns still dominate this lifeline of the empire. In Africa, two armies, the British and the Italian, are stuck in the mud. The tropic rainy season has begun, and it found the rival garrisons locked in their position that they held 3.5 weeks ago. The Italians made a desperate effort before the start of the rains to seize a number of strong points. So at Casala in the north, the Italians are garrisoned in a city, while the British watch them in the desert undergrowth outside. The British were in Casala on July 4th, but retreated under an overwhelming attack. Now they wait outside the city and attempt to cut the Italians off from reinforcements and supplies. It looks as though these positions will remain fixed until the tropical downpour comes to an end. And that will be about mid-September. Reports reaching here tell of heavy German troop concentrations along the French-Spanish frontier. These reports say that 600,000 German troops have been shifted to the two provinces between Bordeaux and the Pyrenees. Meanwhile, the French official agency Havas reports that the British-owned Ebro power works in Spain will be taken under Spanish control, while two British banks in Spain have orders to close down. The British War Office may get a shake-up in the near future. Anthony Eden, its war minister, has set up a committee of seven to try and cut the red tape. A number of businessmen have been called in to streamline the organization and fit it to the extraordinary demands forced upon it by the huge troop concentrations on this island. Within 8 weeks before Britain gets its cold, its fog, and its rain, 3 million men must have winter quarters. Many of them are now living in tents. But soon they may find themselves in fine bachelor apartments or quarters in hotels or deserted mansions. A number of large apartment houses, unrented because the tenants have evacuated to safer portions of the country, will be taken over by the War Office. At the moment, the War Office is engaged on a great house hunt. On the home front, Britain's war workers have been working such long hours in the last 2 months that the Minister of Labor has issued suggestions to 80,000 firms to reduce these working hours. It is estimated that a 55-hour week will give Britain as much production in war materials as the 80-hour week now common in the war workshop. German air activity was again light during the hours of darkness last night and this morning. A few bombs were dropped, and one bomber was brought down. An unofficial report from Dover says that 25 German airplanes were shot down yesterday instead of the 20 officially confirmed by the Air Ministry. The losses by enemy action of British and neutral merchant shipping this week is given as 50,784 tons, just under the average loss for the 46 weeks of the war. The record loss came in the week of June 17th, when losses reached 204,203 tons. We return you now to CBS in New York.
That was Larry Lesser reporting from London. Here is a press association dispatch from Rome. Today's communique of the Italian High Command reports that a British convoy in the eastern Mediterranean was bombed by Italian airplanes yesterday, resulting in serious damage to several ships. One of them was said to have caught fire. The communique said the convoy was escorted by warships, including an aircraft carrier. Now we return to Europe for more news. This time news reported from the German capital by William Alshara. Go ahead, Berlin.
This is Berlin. Even the Germans are laughing at the attempt of the Vichy government to fix responsibility for all that has befallen France by trying a handful of men who held office while France was in the war. The whole affair, the German press informs us, is not taken seriously here. The Perthische Beobachter this morning comments that this hunt for the guilty in France is really an attempt by the accusers to whitewash themselves and those they are protecting. So far as the Perthische Beobachter is concerned, the guilty in France go back to Clemenceau, Napoleon, and Richelieu. The German radio calls France's attempt to put the guild on a few of its former leaders a good example of how unreal the French still see things. According to a Zurich dispatch in a Frankfurt Zeitung this morning, Georges Mandel, former French Minister of Interior, who was arrested in Morocco last Thursday, will be the first French statesman tried. Then will follow Mr. Delagier, Mr. Blum, and the rest, 22 altogether. The Pétain cabinet, the German papers incidentally point out today that Mr. Laval is really the main force at Vichy, the Pétain cabinet, according to the Frankfurt Zeitung dispatch, is busy now setting up a special Supreme Court, whose task will be to establish responsibility for, first, France's ever having gotten into the war, and second, for the country's collapse. Military as well as political leaders will be tried before this court, and it's reported that General Gamelin may be among those brought before it. This German dispatch points out that according to the French Constitution, the French Senate usually constitutes itself as a court for such proceedings. It did this in the celebrated Carillon case, but this procedure is not being followed by Mr. Laval. It does seem rather ironic that the German press joins that of most of the rest of the world in condemning the singular French attempt to lay the guilt for France's plight on a few men who happen to be in power. The Wilhelmstrasse, as well as the German press, is still somewhat reserved about the results of the Havana Conference. Herr Karl Megerle, foreign editor of the Bösen Zeitung, who often acts as mouthpiece for the German Foreign Office, commenting this morning, finds that while Washington obviously was mainly interested in seeing that no Allied colonies in the Americas should ever go to Germany, the real importance of Havana was that it showed Great Britain's growing weakness in America. England's possessions over there, he writes, are, in the eyes of the Americas, ripe for mandates. And this naturally gives the Germans some sort of satisfaction. Heretofore, the German press has played up South American newspaper editorials which were opposed to Uncle Sam's projects in Havana. But now that most of them have been adopted there, nothing more is published here on the subject. The German press this morning makes a great deal of an anti-American article in the Rome newspaper Tavera. The title of the piece is The Unwanted Guest, meaning the USA. It says, among other things, that the, quote, Jewish lust for booty, unquote, of the American business-getter has nothing in common with that thousand-year lesson of moral and authentic culture which Europe has. Let the Americans mind their own business and stop mixing in Europe, says this Italian paper, a sentiment that finds full approval in Berlin. Following the return of the Slovak leaders from their talk with Herr Hitler, the government of Slovakia has been revised. Foreign Minister Dukatsky is out, and Dr. Samuel Mach, a staunch admirer of Herr Hitler's and hitherto propaganda minister of Slovakia, is promoted to Minister of Interior and Commander of the Finke Guard. Germany also sends a new minister to Bratislava. He is Manfred von Killinger, a well-known name in Germany. This is William L. Schauer in Berlin, returning out of Columbia in New York.
You've listened to the news from Europe as reported by CBS correspondents in London and Berlin. Now from our New York studios, we bring you a summary of the latest news reported from other points. First, here are more details of the reports from Marseille, which we gave you at the start of this broadcast. This story is that German troop trains and naval forces have been massed in and near France's northwest coast ports. The Nazi concentrations are said to extend along the French coast of the English Channel from Dunkirk to Brest and 100 miles inland. Throughout the occupied French zone opposite England, it is reported, German military forces are in movement. And it is asserted that in order to keep plans secret, the Germans are moving their troops, heavy guns, and other war materials only at night. From dusk to dawn, it is said, the roads are filled with columns of military transport. This story from Marseille follows on the heels of yesterday's stories from Vichy. But only from these points thus far are any details of German military activity being reported. There are no similar reports from London. CBS correspondent Larry Lesser, reporting from the British capital a few minutes ago, gave no indication that the British intend to give official attention to these dispatches. A party of foreign news correspondents have just completed a German-conducted 8-day tour of northern and western France. One member of the party was CBS correspondent Edwin Hartridge. There are reports from Paris this morning that the foreign newsmen were given the impression by their German guides that Germany has not yet started rebuilding towns and villages in occupied France because she is concentrating on building up her war machine for the invasion of Britain. The entire zone along the French side of the English Channel has been blocked off. The roads were jammed with military and supply trucks, but the correspondents were warned not to reveal in what direction they were moving. During the tour, the correspondents saw town after town, which had been wrecked by German dive bombers and artillery. In three towns, only the churches were standing, and an officer remarked, the Stuka pilots had sport in bombing a town and leaving the churches standing. The streets had been cleared of wreckage in order to permit passage of military vehicles. German military police were on every corner directing traffic. French peasants poked in the ruins searching for lost household articles. Their faces had no expression, and they spoke only among themselves. Here is today's news from the Balkans. In Bucharest, it is reported that negotiations are to be started soon by Romania, Hungary, and Bulgaria in an attempt to settle their territorial disputes. At the same time, it is planned under German-Italian guidance to halt any further Russian penetration into the Balkans by these negotiations. Romania now has made public its willingness to concede a moderate amount of territory to both Hungary and Bulgaria. It is said in official circles that Romania is reconciled to these concessions as the most effective means of preventing the spread of communism through the Balkans and ensuring the maintenance of peace. Diplomatic quarters interpret this viewpoint as tending to confirm reports that Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini, not having opposed Russia's occupation of Bessarabia and northern Bukovina, and its absorption of the Baltic republics, now have decided to build a barrier against further expansion westward by Russia, and to this end are asking the cooperation of all Danubian states. A barrier against Russian expansion would ensure German economic domination in this area. It is reported that in order to make sure of a supply of oil and grain from Romania, Germany intends to make every effort to settle the Balkan territorial disputes. It is reported that as a result of the visit of Premier Jigurtu and Foreign Minister Manulescu to Adolf Hitler, the Romanian government position had been strengthened internally because there was the prospect that the big army could be materially demobilized. Here's the news from the Far East. In Tokyo, Japanese government leaders are reported planning to purge their schools and universities of foreign teachers. It is said that about 500 foreigners will be dismissed from teaching posts as a result of a fifth column scare and an alleged British spy plot. Also, Japan is reported planning much stricter supervision of all foreign missionaries. Japanese newspapers are warning their readers against being victimized by fifth column activities. One paper, Yomiuri, says the British have been spreading propaganda among elder statesmen, high officials, influential newspapermen, and persons who move in high social circles. Yomiuri says the British purpose is to alienate Japan from Germany and Italy. And with these news reports, we bring to a close this morning's report of national and international development, which come to you each time, each morning at this time, and each evening at 6:45 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Larry Lesser was reporting from London. William L. Shire reported from Berlin. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.